Go ahead, Nancy.
I would like to postpone this debate on the postponement of this motion until after we hear from the IED and the recovery plan, because this is going on, and we really need to address the business so that we can get the audit done. And this is critical business that needs to be done so that we can complete the audit. We need to hear from the IED. We need to get the recovery plan. We need to postpone this discussion to later in this meeting. And so I move that we postpone the debate on the postponement of this motion until after the IED report.
Okay. That one I never heard of. Mr. Tatum, are you allowed to make a motion to postpone discussion on a motion to postpone? I've never heard of that one before.
No, the motion she's looking for is lay on the table. That's where you can put something aside temporarily while you take care of other urgent business, and then you have to come right back to it after the urgent business has been taken care of.
Okay, that's
so motion to lay on the table.
I'll lay it on the table. I'll lay it on the table until I would like to lay this on the table until after we deal with the IED report.
I don't know. Is Lydia on the call yet?
Lydia is not on the call.
Yeah, so we can't really do that until Lydia gets on the call, and I'm not sure what time that will be, yeah. Nancy.
So, Chair, can we continue with the orders of the day?
Okay. Okay, I guess we cannot do that. Okay, so.
Okay. Lawrence, did you want to speak?
Yes. Man, I have tremendous respect for Ralph Pointer, and reverence and esteem, for Brother Ralph Pointer. I mean, days means a lot. And as you all know, he rarely speaks, but when he speaks, he packs a punch. And, so I don't know which way I'm gonna go. I don't like the behavior of the chair right now in this meeting, because of the prerogative to editorialize everybody and speak to poison the pill. So, or the poison the well. So I have a difficulty with that. And, words mean a lot to me. I don't know which way I'm gonna swing on this one. But I think you know what I believe the chair should do. I believe the chair, for the sake of the board, should resign, should step down, or pass a baton to Dwayne Lark, who is blocked out of this meeting right now. I don't know why. Okay, you can't get back on. So if you could allow him back in, that'll be good. So that's what I think, Chair. And I think
okay, just a point of information. I am not controlling who gets in and out of this meeting. If someone is locked out, it's got nothing to do with me. And
yeah.
I'm not aware
that. Respond to that?
Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, as co-host, I haven't muted anybody. I haven't unmuted anybody. I haven't blocked anybody. Mr. Tatum is the other co-host, and I doubt he's done any such thing.
This is Corey for the stack.
This is Corey for the stack.
I would like to ask a question. There's somebody on here whose number I don't recognize, and it's a 202 area code, and the last four digits are 3437. Can you please tell me who you are? Thank you.
Okay.
Grace.
Yeah, Grace.
As I recall, Alec participated in...
Grace, we can't hear you. Get closer to the mic.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Having trouble. I'd like to say that Alex and I both were participated in the mediation, which was the purpose of it was to bridge some of these factional problems. I think we need time to talk to one another, and therefore I'm in favor of the motion to postpone. I am totally willing to communicate to anybody by phone or by email. Maybe we need to have a little cross-factional caucus call or group call so we can get over some of these differences. But I think just this rash effort to change the officers is, if the board really wants that, that's up to the board. But I think we should postpone it till the next meeting, as Ralph suggested.
Okay. Anybody else before I speak?
I asked to be on the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you.
And Jan Goodman.
So just to address some of Ralph's points, I appreciate the fact that he says very little on the board, and when he says it, that he means it, and he takes strong stands, and I very much appreciate his perspective. And I just want to say to Ralph particularly, and to the rest of the board who cares about the subject, I don't actually harbor any particular animus to either Alex or Grace, other than the fact that I feel like my opinions on this board have been marginalized, and I tried to articulate that in the motion, and I understand that they don't feel that way. I get that. I hear that. But I have taken the opportunity occasionally. I think Grace has been relatively open, honestly. So my objection is mostly to Alex. And if Alex was open to it, I never got any indication of that. I got one indication that he wasn't open, and I took that to mean that he wasn't open to it. And I feel in my participation on this board, at every opportunity that I've had to speak or to articulate my positions, that I've been pushed to the side, put last on the agenda, given 1.5 minutes to speak to a half hour item. I just feel like I haven't, the NFC has been perennially criticized for not doing good work. And I was criticized for, you know, when I posted the thing about the fire victims, comparing them to what happened at WBAI. I mean, I could go on and on and on about this, but it feels personal to me. And I'm sorry that, if it wasn't personal, I'm sorry that that came across. But that's how it feels to me. And nobody is in a position to deny my feelings. And I think anybody on this board understands that. And I have all the evidence that I need.
90 seconds.
Thank you,
Ron,
James.
Ron to the stack.
Vanessa to the stack.
Okay. Ron, go ahead.
And Jan to the stack.
I haven't heard from Ron yet. Go ahead, Ron.
Sure.
Listen, I support the motion to postpone for a variety of reasons, many of which have already been articulated. We don't have to bum rush this like this. We can make a credible decision, about which way, we want to go, by the next meeting. So quite frankly, I cannot forget that, so many of the people supporting this, this move to remove were people who were in litigation against us. Okay, I can't forget that. Okay, so now I'm not saying that that we don't have issues, that can't be dealt with, but I want this done with a process. I want this done with fairness. Okay, and so we can put that together, have a good argument, have a good discussion, and make some credible decisions. For the next meeting, I support Ralph's motion. And I hope you guys do too. Thank you.
Okay.
Vanessa to the staff.
Yeah, Vanessa, I got you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, this is Polina with a point of order.
What is your point of order, Polina?
Can you tell us what the time limit is for this item? Are we out of time?
I think it was 20 minutes. Lawrence, how much have we gotten through? Can't hear you. You're muted.
Lawrence, you're muted.
I believe the 20 minutes was up 30 minutes ago.
Great.
Okay. Maybe we need a motion to extend time on this item. Do we have a motion for, say, another 5 minutes?
I move that we extend for 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Well,
okay. I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion to extend for 20 minutes. Are there any objections to extending this item for another 20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to a vote then.
Can we just make it 10 minutes?
Yes. Can we make it 10 minutes?
Call it a day?
Let's make it 10 minutes.
Okay. We have a counter motion to extend for 10 minutes. Do we have a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Okay. We have an extra 10 minutes. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. So basically, I think Ron pretty much said very well everything that I wanted to say. Because a motion to remove officers can be made at that meeting without giving any notice or opportunity for the parties to know about this in advance and prepare in some form or fashion, doesn't mean that we should do it. I'm simply not aware. I've read the motion. It's very general. I'm not aware of any egregious actions taken by the chair I know there are some feelings about what happened last week with Lawrence, and I understand that. However, I don't think that rises to the level of removing the chair. I think that he is a good chair and she is a good secretary. I'm not sure why they're being thrown together and you know, like two peas in a pot. But I would like to postpone this at a minimum to give the parties an opportunity to prepare and for the people who are making the allegations to be more specific. It's very general allegations, which I oppose just on the basis that it's very difficult to defend against the general. You need to know specifically what is
90 seconds.
That's it. I'm done.
Okay, if there's no...
Lyndon, nobody, for the stack.
Lyndon? Okay, we haven't heard from you. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, I'd just like to say, I went through the mediation with a lot of y'all, and I wasn't, you know, here for all the contemptuous actions back in 2019. But I would say that in the mediation, I tried to express that this going back to this retaliation, this trying to get a pound of flesh from other people just was not going to get us anywhere. And yet Alex kept putting motions putting amendments or motions into the agenda, to, you know, go after people to get that pound of flesh. He was after it again and again and again. And since he and Grace controlled what was going on to the agenda, that's what we had. And so we had to fight that or put it off, study it. Then we get Schwartz or the, you know, whoever the lawyer was, we get him to talk about it. So we wasted, you know, 4 or 5 meetings just on retaliation. And I don't think that's good for Pacifica. And so that's why I'm voting to remove, Alex and Grace.
Okay. I would like to say something before we go to a vote. First of all, I'm not going to claim I'm a perfect chair. I'm not going to claim that I never make mistakes. I'm not going to claim that I never have an emotional reaction to anything. What I will say is I always try to be fair. I try to recognize people who wish to speak. I do try to reach out to people whose views don't agree with me. Not always successfully. I have never refused to take a phone call from anyone on this board. I have, whenever I've gotten an email from anybody, I have always tried to respond to it. Furthermore, whatever you think about me, what does this have to do with the secretary of the board? We're not the same person. Grace Aaron is not me. She does not get emotional the way I do. So I don't understand that one either. The only way I could understand it is if it's looked at through the issues that this board has been facing, and I believe there is an attempt to create a new factional alliance that will be detrimental to Pacifica. Whatever anyone's particular motivation, and I'm not claiming anyone has an evil motivation, I think everybody thinks they're doing the right thing, but whatever your particular motivation, you have to ask yourself what is the likely outcome of the actions you wish to take. It may not be what you wish. It may really come back to haunt you. So I think, and I really appreciate Ralph's talk before. As you know, Ralph and I have not always been on the same side on a lot of issues, but I think when it comes to Pacifica and what's best for Pacifica, we're completely aligned. And I think that with almost everybody on this board. I think that of Mr. Reyes. I think that of Dwayne Lark. Whatever is bringing some of these people to make decisions, I don't think it has anything to do with their not being loyal to Pacifica. But I do think there are a group of people who are not loyal to
Pacifica. Your past time.
Mr. Chair, this is Paulina with a point of information about our interim executive director.
It's my time. I'm sorry. So let's go. Paulina, you had a point of information?
Yes, please. Our interim executive director would like to get on this call, but she uses her phone as opposed to Zoom, and she's requesting the call-in information. Thank you.
Paulina, I gave it to her.
Great, thank you.
This is Lydia. I'm on the call.
Oh, great. Thank you, Lydia. Can we go to a vote on the motion to postpone? Does anybody else want to speak who hasn't spoken?
What motion is this? This is Lydia, sorry. This is
a motion to postpone consideration of a motion to remove the chair and the secretary.
No, I think we were going to belay that motion until after Lydia spoke, Chair.
No, belay it on the table.
There's no need to do that now. We can go to vote right now.
Let's go to a vote.
I thought you had asked for comments. I'm sorry.
Oh, did you want to speak on this, Lydia?
Well, I haven't seen the motion because it's not on the agenda, but it does raise an issue. I think one of the things that would be good, because I don't see it on the agenda, so I assume this is something that was proposed during agenda approval. One of the things that would be good would be, and this came up earlier in the week when when people were asking why I wasn't on the strategic planning committee, and to my knowledge, I'm not a member of that. I don't mind popping in once in a while, but anyway. But what I am on is the coordinating committee, which has historically deals with issues as described in the bylaws between meetings, and has often taken on the responsibility of setting the agenda, which
item, Chair.
Pardon?
We have time for the agenda item, Lydia. That's right.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
That's all. I'm just telling the chair.
Okay. Let Lydia finish speaking.
Yeah, so the only thing I was going to say is that one of the things that is healthy about having a coordinating committee is that then there isn't the perception that things like the management team is acting like an executive committee meeting. I've heard that articulated on the call. So I don't know. I wasn't here for the discussion about it, but I'm saying that if there's a motion to postpone, I think it might be a good idea to have a broader conversation. But again, I'm not a voting member, and I didn't hear the discussion.
And just one point, Lydia, you are, in fact, a full member of the Strategic
Planning. But I'm not a voting member. I'm not a board member.
You're a voting member of the Strategic Planning Committee. And I don't know why you didn't get the invitation, but I sent it out to everybody. So.
Oh, okay. No, so my only point was because other than what's in the bylaws, then when you form committees, you have to pass every year what, you know, the positions that are constituted and what the nature of the committee is. So I must have missed it, but okay. Nevertheless. Okay. So that's my thing. But that's it.
Point of information, Chair.
What is a point of information?
I believe that Nancy Sauden made a motion to lay on the table.
No, it was never seconded, and she kind of withdrew
it. I mean, it was never seconded because Lydia wasn't here at that point, and I think the conversation that I was trying to postpone has been completed already.
Okay, so let's go to a vote. Madam Secretary, could you take the roll?
What are we voting on?
We're voting on the motion to postpone consideration of the motion.
Until when?
Until the next meeting.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Grace Barron votes no. Yes. Sorry. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay, Chris Corey?
No.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
All right. Lyndon Foley?
No.
Okay. Dan Goodman?
Pass.
Okay. No. Heather Gray?
No, you know what? I'm going to vote yes.
Okay. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Pass.
Okay. Wally James?
No.
All right. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Please repeat the motion we're voting on.
It's your motion to postpone the consideration of the removal of
yes.
The chair. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Sandra Rowland? Sandra Rowland?
I have been.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
All right. Eileen Rosin?
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy Sauden?
Yes.
All right. Aki Tanaka?
I pass.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
All right. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay, going back, Sabrina Jacobs, you passed.
Abstain.
All right. And Aki Tanaka, you passed.
Yeah, abstain also.
All right. So I'll count this up. We have 14 yeses. Four noes. Let me count up. And I believe two abstentions. Let me see. Three abstentions. 14 yes, four noes, three abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay. So that is 15 yes, four noes, three abstentions. The motion is postponed to the next meeting.
Chair, can you give me the amount of time for the next agenda item, please? I believe it's 20 minutes, right?
It's a 10-minute item. Excuse me.
Okay. I have a request for information, Chair.
Yeah, what is your request for information?
We altered the agenda to put the IEG report at the end of the agenda. Would the committee like to move it up to change that placement on the agenda? It was replaced.
I'm sure we could do that. If somebody wishes to make a motion to do that, I hope there'll be no objections.
I would.
James, so moved.
Okay, do we have a second on that?
Tom seconds.
Okay, are there any objections to moving?
I object.
Okay, we have an objection. Okay, it's...
And I would like the floor.
You may have the floor, go ahead.
All right, I object because I have requested something from the IED 3 weeks ago, and I have not received it. And so I would like, unfortunately, I'm going to have to do this broadly, broadcast it this much. I just want the IED to tell me that she will send me the asbestos report on KPFT tomorrow.
That's not really an objection to moving this up to the agenda. That's a request of the
IED. It sure as hell is.
Lydia, would you care to comment on that before we move on? She might be muted, I don't know.
Oh.
Okay,
you can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
Zoom seems to randomly mute people sometimes.
Yeah, that was weird because I manually mute on my phone and it wasn't muted. So, but anyway, what is the question at hand? Because I had hung up before by mistake.
Could you repeat your question, Lyndon?
Yes, I 3 weeks ago I requested the asbestos report concerning the building that KPFT occupies.
Oh.
I requested that twice. I did not receive a reply.
Last week
I brought it up. You told me you would get it to me. 7 days later, I still don't have it. So that is the basis of my objection.
Okay. I'll send it right now. But meanwhile, there had been something was raised about the agenda and my name was invoked. So
we wanted to move your report up the agenda so that you can give it right now. That's what we're dealing with at the moment, Lydia.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, Lyndon, are you still objecting?
I will object until I'm told that it's going to be sent to me by in the next 24 hours.
She just said she
was. No, I'm going to send it to the whole board.
Well, that's what she said last week, too.
Okay, I'm looking for it right now.
Or you could just ask James to send it, because I believe he has it.
All right.
Okay, as long as that's taken care of, I withdraw my objection.
Okay, so there's no objections to moving that IED report up the agenda so that we can hear it right now? Okay. Lydia,
this is a 10-minute item.
It's a 10-minute item?
Yeah.
Okay. Lydia, go ahead.
Starting time.
Is this a recovery plan or just a report?
It's whatever you want to give a report on.
Mr. Chair, I have a point of information.
Yes.
Okay. The original agenda I sent out, which had the IED report right after minutes approval, has the times listed. 35 minutes for the entire report, which has three parts. Recovery plan is the first part. That's a 15-minute item. The second is update on PPP and EIDL loans. That's 10 minutes. And part C is any other updates, 10 minutes. So this entire agenda item with the three parts has time of 35 minutes.
Jim?
Revised agenda may not have that because I quickly put together a revised agenda.
Jim, this is Lawrence, real quick.
What is it, Lawrence?
I would just appreciate the times of the items as they come up, not the grace read them all in a row, and it makes it difficult.
Okay, so there's three items. The first item is a report on the recovery plan for the 2018 audit. That's a 15-minute item. Losing my voice. Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
She said a total 35 minutes.
35 minutes for the entire report, but there's three parts to the report. The first part is 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the first part is just my report. So, of course, last Friday, we got the PPP money into our Bank of America account. And so we have spent the time since then repaying units with the interloans that units had made to each other for various, usually payroll and so forth. And we've been doing that. Obviously we're not using it for anything that is not a legitimate old debt. I mean, old meaning, you know, we have to pay it, and we have to pay it soon. And we did send the money to CPB. That took some doing, just because, I mean, we had it before even the PPP money. And so we were able to send it eventually. They still had our former CFO on as a signer, and that delayed sending this as a certified check. But anyway, it all got done finally. That was last week. So I continue calling EIDL and also asking other people who I know who have not received their EIDL loan, and those have been approved, and those don't have any of the hiccups that we've encountered. So I think there is clearly just some kind of a significant backlog, but I keep knocking on the door daily. So we will continue with that. And the other thing that I would recommend to the board is that, obviously, I think I said that before, the PPP is, a good chunk of it is pretty specific, right? So, it's limited within the scope that when you send in the underlying documents to apply for it, obviously they add up. It has to be consistent with how much you have in the way of payroll and so on and so forth. So we're using all of that as a guideline so that we don't go over our limit on other things, and then we're able to use the other percentage for some of these important back bills, and we're doing well. It looks like, I mean, the list of old payables has shrunk considerably, and we had been chipping away at that when there were some old debts that were just, you know, easy to take care of as we get money, because we do get money in every week, even at the national office, from be it Schwab or be it just miscellaneous donations. And I get ActBlue donations every day now. So that is good. And then they send us a check at the end of the week. So all of that starts adding up, and we've been able to, in recent months, just pay off, and the appeal letter money and all of that. So we've been able to pay off some of, like, those naggy little amounts that were, you know, under $1,000, for example, but were still kind of pending. And in each case, everything takes time. I look at, you know, we backtrack and make sure it's really due. And then some of them, you know, I research to see who they are. So I don't pay anything that I don't know what it's about. And then I've asked Tamara to make additional notes so that next time we remember what that particular thing is for in those instances where she is not clear. So we're cleaning all of that up, and moving along, which of course is a main concern. We have also, let's see, oh, you know, the one, Okay, so the other thing is I went ahead and added us as a media sponsor. It's a concert for the Cuban doctors that went to 30 countries and took supplies during COVID-19 with all kinds of people who have been our supporters, like Osa Motley, Ed Asner, David Soul, just a long list of high-profile people. And Osa Motley and Rage Against the Machine are going to be performing, or not as Rage. Morello is going to be performing. And various people who have been longtime supporters of Pacifica. And it will be streamed, and it's free, and it's from a nonprofit in Chicago. And Renee is doing the promos for it and adding her original music, and we have her permission to use it in the background, by the way. So we're moving along with that. And the COVID-19 program has been well received based on emails that I have gotten from listeners and so forth. And so that was a good effort. And we also get money. We're trying to track when the money comes in for Act Blue, and it does coincide with the programming. Not huge amounts, because they're not fundraising during the program, but they do direct people to Pacifica.org for more information or whatever it is that they say during the show. And that's enough for them to see the Act Blue, mostly is what they go to. And then many of those people commit to being recurring. So to me, that's the best, because then we can count on that additional income. So that's all been very promising. So in terms of changes, is that because, for example, the Democratic convention is mostly going to be remote and is not going to be, they're not going to have their full delegations in Milwaukee, although myself and the technical team have sent in for our clearance and credentials. That's only with a far-fetched idea that something radical would happen and we would have to go there. We don't really have any intentions of doing so right now. And because I personally don't want to fly under the circumstances, but nevertheless. So what we're going to do, and, you know, it's wonderful that we don't have to travel. However, you know, we still, in some ways, it's more difficult when you have the team there, as we did in 16. We were all together, so we could, you know, put our heads together as to who's going to be on next and grab people, different people to speak to us and that we could interview. And that's not going to be the case, so we'll have to do a lot of contacting in advance and dealing with the schedulers and so on and so forth, but still have round tables where we can incorporate the various stations, which so far I think has gone well given all of the obstacles that we faced with COVID and so forth. So I think that will still be another good opportunity to raise funds for our programming. And then in August, and this is also in the recovery plan, or in last week of July probably, that I'll be doing the all-day fundraiser, which was planned even before I was appointed. So I will be doing that. I've been working with Mark Torres, and also Belina will be helping me because she has also just gotten off of co-producing the COVID-19 program. And so we'll be working with the template and so on and so forth, have some excellent ideas and some terrific people that are stepping up to participate. Some of them, you know, known nationally from the past, and just various kind of high-profile people who we don't tap into as resources. And yet, especially right now, during COVID-19, they're way more accessible. And especially because now at most of the stations, we're getting very good at the remote broadcasting with quality air. So anyway, so that's what's coming up there. Am I supposed to go into the plan yet? No, that's probably the next item. So I'll take questions.
Okay, who wants to be on the stack? Questions? Chris, go ahead.
Thank you. Lydia, I may have missed it, but did you mention we had a motion to prioritize the NEDA payments. Has NEDA been prioritized in the accounts payable? And if so, how much progress has been made on those payments?
Yes, we issued a payment of $100,000 yesterday.
Thank you.
And I had spoken to Anita, and, you know, as we progress and finish the audit and so on and so forth, you know, everything, she was absolutely fine with it. I spoke to her actually last week before we had even deposited the money. So with all of this, we have carefully gone through how we're moving accordingly. And so it all looks good.
Paulina's on stack.
Paulina, go ahead.
Thank you. Lydia, thanks for the report. What's the status in your view of the national programming? We were supposed to reevaluate it at the end of 4 weeks. We're at the end of the production of week 3 right now, so we have one more week to go. This is all volunteer produced programming every day, mm-hmm. Right? And we have one more week to go. In your opinion, what is the protocol as to how we're going to proceed with a program dedicated to COVID-19, given that we're not even through the first wave of the epidemic yet, right? What we're seeing in the news is so alarming that it seems like we should have a program dedicated to the issue. Your opinion?
My opinion is that I have not listened to all of the programming, which I am determined to do. That's my 4th of July. And in order to have a stronger opinion. However, because there are so many cycles, including the all-day fund drive that I want to do as a fundraiser, and that we've had more national programming this year than I had even when I was the IED before. So it does irritate everybody, and it's not even a personal thing. It's just that people have, you know, plans that when you throw in national programming versus what they've already planned, it's not always a welcome scenario. But it's also been a lot. We've been doing a lot because we did Super Tuesday. We've done several other national programming that requires, as you well know, a lot of coordination. So I'm not opposed to having a permanent show, maybe a national show. One of the things that we have to do is to have that discussion. You know, it used to be years back that you had national programming. You had the National Network News. Democracy Now! Was our national program, because that also becomes part of the grants that we get from CPB. Is that you can say, okay, we have this national program. They fund additionally for that national programming. So, and there is additional funding right now for funding for COVID programming. It's very hot in other radio networks and so forth are getting that money. So it's not like we wouldn't be eligible for that perhaps. So I'm not opposed to it at all. I would like to listen to it and also just give everybody a break because the stations are still in constant fund drive. The other thing is that we still have to have, I mean, this has been great, and I'm actually a person that to do kind of impromptu projects like
on this item. I'd like to move to a slant time.
Okay, the 15 minutes are up on this item. You want to move for how much? You're muted, Lawrence. Can't hear you.
How much time do you need, Lydia?
I want to move for 7 minutes on this particular.
It depends on if I have any other questions. I mean, I just want to finish the conversation on this. But
I have a question about that. Let's deal with the extension of time, please, Chair.
Do we have a second for a 7 minute extension of time on this item?
Jan Goodman, second.
Okay. Do we have any objections? Okay. Go ahead, Lydia.
I know this is a PMB project, right? So it's not something that I initiated. Having said that, I still have to participate in helping to facilitate with the general managers and the program directors to make sure that we have the support at that level. And also that there has to be and there isn't enough promotions and so forth for that. And that's what happens when you don't have a year of strategic planning. And you can't have that when we haven't even had like the budgets and the other kind of strategic planning where you can have a normal schedule of the fund drives that the stations have to have and in order to meet their obligations and therefore work around some of those schedules as well. And so even though I'm very adaptable and I'm very good at doing things impromptu and whatever, but that's not really the best way to move forward with a media network like this. So I'm saying I'm not opposed to it at all. I'm looking forward to listening to all of the content. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about it. But I think that it shouldn't be back-to-back. And I would think that by now, having been involved with putting on programs before in the late 80s at KPFK, that you must be absolutely exhausted, those who are actually handling the editing and the production and producing the whole thing. Verna and Polina are among those, but also the folks at all the stations.
Okay, Lawrence, I heard you, and I have a question myself. But go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that Lydia, when she gives her report and she takes questions, that she be, just like any other speaker, be given 90 seconds to answer the question. That's okay with everybody. I think I think it's only fair across the board.
I object. I think that the ED should be able to answer the questions fully. She's not just like.
Okay, it was not
one
a motion,
of our,
Jen.
Okay, I just think that she, you know, she tries to be concise, but
can we not
I want to hear
from her. That's right. I have the floor.
Yes.
Thank
please.
You, Jared.
Yeah.
So, in regards to the COVID programming, we haven't debriefed yet, and we haven't reported out, but we intend to do that. I think the programming was excellent. Anybody heard it? And I... In regards to the pitfalls and the cracks in the wall, and in regards to the pushback, we still were successful. I think if this programming, I got the hiccups. I think if this programming, was to be given the proper amount of support by the stations in the network, such as posting it on their websites, such as playing the cards of the program, those kind of things lead to an additional brand. Our purpose is to provide programming to the listeners. So that's one of our purposes. So I just want to let you know that we haven't reported out, and that we will have a report soon after we debrief. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to speak on this as well. I was involved with the COVID task force in the beginnings when we were working out the conception of the whole thing, and I sort of stepped back once the conceptualization went into production of real programming, and I'm very pleased at the way it's developed. And I think there's this as something I've been hoping to see for a long time, and that's the embryo of a real national program for Pacifica. And the fact that it's on this critical issue of the pandemic and that we can provide certain kind of unique perspective on it, I think is really, really valuable. And some people really need to be recognized for their services here, particularly the program director from WBAI, Linda Perry, the program director from WPFW, Katia Stitt, and I believe Akua from KPFT, and Polina from KPFK, and Steve Zeltzer from KPFA, and I'm probably missing some other people. I don't necessarily know everybody that's been involved in this programming. Oh, and Verna, of course. Verna from...
Lawrence, the chair of the task force, Chip.
And Lawrence, the chair of the task force.
The chair, and also Laura Privis from KPFA, who produced the show for KPFA for the last...
Yeah. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody for the work that they've done on this. I think it really shows what Pacifica can do. And
90 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really all I had to say on that. I there was something else I wanted to speak about, but I can reserve that for later. Who else wants to be on the stack? Okay. If that's all the discussion on that item, Lydia, you can go to the next item of your report, which is the report on PPP and the EIDL loans.
No, I did that. We have to pass, for the audit, we have to pass a recovery plan.
Yeah.
The amount of time, Chair, 15 minutes?
Yeah, okay. Do we have that in writing, Lydia?
Yes, I sent it. Did everybody receive it?
It's on the agenda. It's at the bottom of the agenda.
Oh, it's on the bottom of the agenda.
No, I sent it this afternoon before I left my doctor's appointment.
Does it start off recovery plan for July 2nd, 2020?
Yes, PMD? That's it.
IED Lydia Brazone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a bit long. Do you want to read the whole thing, or do you want to make it?
No, I was just going to summarize it. This is not as robust of a recovery plan as the one that I did in 16, because at that point I had already served like 5 years on the board prior to becoming an IED. So I knew everything that could possibly that has been happening, and that is not the case right now. So I only have like the recent 6 months under my belt. I resurrected a couple of things that had been before. So I just very quickly, we already know that all of the issues that are confronting Pacific, I don't have to go over that in the opening paragraph. And of course, that's compounded by COVID-19 and everything that implies because of the uncertainty of the economy as a whole because of it. So when you're talking about a recovery plan, which is different than a strategic plan, right? This is just specific to some of the issues that have been raised by the auditor in the course of a draft audit, which you will be all receiving soon, but that the recovery plan has to be in response to concerns. Are we going to be able to move ahead as a going concern and so on and so forth? And there are various shades of what that means. It doesn't mean that you're going to be out of business in 6 months or anything like that. But you do have to itemize, or the ED is usually called upon to outline some of the ways in which it can recover as the title implies, or states. So, you know, one of the things, of course, it goes without saying, at least for this year, or at least for these next few months until you hire a permanent, you're not paying a salary for ED. That saves you a little bit of money, well, $125,000 if it goes for a year or whatever. And then there's a whole situation about attrition, And without getting into names or stations or whatever, but there are some, you know, at least one or two employees who are uncomfortable coming back because of COVID, and they're seniors, and, you know, they were thinking about retiring anyway. So we have attrition, and these are not necessarily positions that will be filled, or they have not asked to be filled by the general managers at those particular instances. There will be others where perhaps offers will be made because of the dire situations in a particular station. We've discussed those publicly and asked that, you know, 30% of expenses be reduced in some instances and so forth. And so that's all part of recovering. When you have a recovery plan, you have to do both. You have to reduce expenses, but you also have to grow the listeners. And by the way, we have to grow our listeners just to get our CPP back. It's not just the larger grants of CPP. It's not just having the audits completed. We were having, even while we were getting the larger grants, we had a timeline and alerts from CPB saying because our listenership was going down that we were not going to be eligible for certain grants because it's a variety of grants with CPB. One of the things I didn't include in here actually was grants that I've been looking at more and more. I'm not a grant writer, nor would I ever even have the time, believe me. But that is something where you can, that we should think about, because this is a particular place in time when a lot of entities and a lot of charities that give to other charities are offering grants and so forth. And so the easy ones I could probably do, but some of the more detailed ones that are very program specific, we really need a good grant writer. And for example, Mark Torres, the grant from the Golden Globes, he is getting that in August, right? And he's pretty good at submitting grants, but we really need one for the whole foundation to do that. And there are other things that I do mention is that we need to have, and it doesn't always entail, when I say recruit, I don't necessarily mean recruit paid entities. There are volunteers who are very committed to Pacifica, who are very good at social media. And we need to, it doesn't do any good if we have great COVID-19 programming to just even have it on our websites. I mean, people would have to know to go there. That's fine for our listeners, but it does nothing for expanding our listener base. And so unless you're really active on social media, you're not going to get that attention. Or press, not just press releases, press stories about certain things. When we have an anniversary for a station, all of that, we tend to publicize it to ourselves, but we don't publicize it beyond that. So I am recommending while I'm here, I will try to be recruiting volunteers because of our financial situation right now. But should that expand, then the board can include that as part of their strategic planning in the future to be paid positions for public relations and social media outreach and so forth. The next thing that I did was borrow something that I had recommended in 2016 in speaking to then attorney, RFCC attorney John Krigler. When I was trying with the idea of opening up an internet station in Chicago, and to my surprise, he said it would only cost a few hundred dollars because we held all kinds of licensing already, and it would be easy. Having said that, we do have an affiliate there. I mean, there, you know, are things you would have to look into and see what's what, and not go in and plot ourselves there. It's something we would have to develop. But I do think that it is an area, as I said, you have to reduce expenses and you have to grow your listenership. It's kind of untapped. And what the reason that I thought of this even back in the day is that there was a national meeting of some organization here, and something came up, and they would always hear Amy Goodman say from Pacifica Democracy Now, and they never knew what Pacifica was. They just always heard her say that. And so when I mentioned it, this particular group of folks were from Chicago. And so, you know, and they listened religiously to Democracy Now! And so on and so forth. So they were very surprised. But the issue is that there are openings in other arenas where we can expand. Also, I am looking at, and I didn't include this because the woman didn't get back to me today on the actual quotes, but back in 17, I had secured some snail mail lists, and it was too costly, too expensive to do that, and as just a trial balloon. It didn't yield very much. But they also have email lists that they sell that are far more reasonable in terms of cost, and they tailor it. You can tell them you want NPR types or you know, non-commercial radio lists, that sort of thing, or you know, other progressive publications and so on and so forth. So that's something that I am also going to explore. I'll bring it back to the board, of course, and see if it's something that they want to do, because we've had a great deal of success with the assistance of Renee, who has usually, without even charging us, will send out an email or whatever, and she's, you know, been very good. She is an excellent music engineer, and as I mentioned before, composes her own background music. And but more than that is that she uses Constant Contact very efficiently. So with the appeal, we sent out the appeal one day, and then she timed it so that anyone who had not opened that email, got the same appeal a week later. And that brought in another chunk of money. So we do have a whole little system going. It's very non-intrusive for me. I basically tell her what to do. She'll send me a draft. I tweak it, and it's done. It's really been quite an advantage to have that kind of support, which is the kind of support that I'm saying we can do in these other areas that I mentioned. I won't repeat them. And the other thing is that I did want to commend the board, because I've been on often on the national board for decades, I think. And so I have to say that I wanted to commend the board both on attendance and the attention to detail and to finances that I had not seen before. And so from my point of view, that's a plus in terms of a recovery plan. More open to taking on agenda items that have to do with finances and supporting many of the things that myself or that our CFO needs and so on and so forth. So I think that bodes well, despite all of us have issues with our bylaws and aspects of governance. I had to include that in the recovery plan, because I do have a point of reference and something to compare it to. So I do commend the board for that. And I thank you, because I feel supported in terms of the board. And I try to get back to as many people. It's just the time constraints, and as you can see, my voice sometimes just goes. The other thing is that we have transitioned to Allegiance, something I knew nothing about when I came out. All these years I've been familiar with Memphis, which is how we take care of all of our donors and membership, which becomes critical, very critical again for the elections next year and so on and so forth. And we always have problems, because we have a lot of inconsistencies and we have all kinds of issues that have happened, and we become pretty remedial in trying to see which names are valid and so on and so forth. But anyway, So apparently this allegiance program, which I am not familiar with at all, it's all the rage. and Markeisha at KPFT in Houston loves it, and I think she was the first one to use it. KPFA has been using it for some time. KPFK just transitioned to it, and it was a lengthy, rocky transition, I would say, that it took like a good 6 months. And it did hold them up in terms of fundraising just because they were toggling back and forth between the two. But now that it's all set, from everything I hear, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary, that it is going to be so much easier to have an accurate membership list to be able to, and this is what has held up our audit for years, since I've been on the board, which is a reconciliation. Every time we raise reconciliation, they think, oh, how could you not have current banking reconciliations? Well, that's not the problem. We can reconcile a bank statement. That's easy enough. But you have to reconcile the individual donations that come into our membership rooms and into that software that we have been using and reconcile that to the actual deposits that we're making. And you don't make a deposit for each $50 donation, for example, right? So all of that, but it also is, allows you to look at patterns of the donations to various programs.
5 seconds, are we out of time?
45 seconds. Sorry, Lydia, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. I only had three more sections to it.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. So the other thing that, and this is all bouncing off of the draft that I've seen, the board has not seen yet, of things that the auditor mentioned, most of which we've heard before from our auditors. But this, I think, is really important just from my experience these few months, is that I think there are plenty, especially right now, of online training for various disciplines that exist in Pacifica. I think it has been a shortcoming of ours to hire someone and throw them in the deep end and not provide adequate training. So if you're hired as a general manager, just have like enough time, which they normally don't in a transition period, to get an overview of how MEMSIS works, to get an overview and sit down with the CFO and have them go into making sure they know how to read a budget and construct a budget and have some sense of the financial structures before they even jump into what all those financial obligations are, for example. We tend to hire program directors as general managers and vice versa. So we get, that's not a criticism because you can still have that robust dedication and experience in radio, but as a general manager, you have to include those other disciplines. But that's not the only position. There are many more. And right now there are a lot of online educational opportunities. All of our payroll companies offer these webinars all the time that are free to us because we're already associated with that, for example, and all kinds of broadcast aspects to that. So I really strongly recommend that. And I think it would be a benefit, and I think that the staff and the management and all the stations would really appreciate it as well. Last but not least, of course, part of the recovery is going to be the fact that we did receive the PPP funding June 26th into our accounts, the fact that we have every reason to believe we will receive the EIDL loan from my multiple conversations with SBA. And this affords the foundation to develop, as I put in there, the opportunity to develop a fiscally prudent and mission-driven recovery and strategic planning moving forward. And the one thing that I missed was, of course, the KPFA property tax issue. We know we have two firms that are handling that. I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to do way better than what the bill says, and that we can take advantage of our of what I believe we're entitled to, which is a complete exemption. But even if it's not complete, I do believe that we'll have a significant reduction. So that's basically the plan. That's what I see so far after 6 months in terms of how we recover. And a lot of it really does have to do with support from the board. And before we spend a dime from EIDL, because PPP, like I said, a significant portion is all based on your payroll, but with EIDL it's different, and we need to have a really strong sense of what we need so that we don't just go on a spending spree. I don't expect anyone to do that, and that we are very strategic and prudent with that, and so...
Lydia, this is Alex. First of all, thank you for the report. I like it. Obviously, there's a lot more we have to consider and discuss, and a lot of those discussions should take place on the Strategic Planning Committee, of which you are a full member, and I'm sorry that there was some confusion about that. And some of those discussions could also take place in other committees, of course. I do have a question, though. Do we need a vote of the board on this recovery?
You do. It has to be board approved.
Okay.
So I'm moving.
Now,
again, this is not a strategic plan.
I understand.
This is, yeah. Okay. It's strictly in response to what the auditor has said, and how we expect to recover, given that we've had a series of going concern alerts. So,
exactly, it's nevertheless, it could at least some of it could be the basis of a more comprehensive strategic plan. I just want to formally move that the board approve this recovery plan, and this will be put into the audit if it's approved.
Second.
Okay, we have a second, and who wants to be on the stack?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Chris, anybody else?
What's the
Polina Vasilia for the stack.
How much time, Chair? Because we went at the time a couple of minutes.
We're out of time?
Yeah, we've been out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we have a motion
to
extend?
10 minutes.
Yeah, can I have a motion to extend for 10 minutes?
I just said
Chris just made the motion.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Do we have a second?
Second, Lawrence.
Okay, any objections? Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Okay.
And then I heard James next. Go ahead.
Okay. If I'm reading this correctly, it's just a 2-page document. Lydia, is that correct? And it's profoundly short on details. Is this just basically a statement of purpose, based on the requirements?
It's required to respond, and it's always been a 1 to 2 page, response. It's
okay.
That the auditors always issue, or sadly has had to issue, a going concern that is nuanced, right? And it just requires the executive director with to respond to it in terms of what are some of the elements that would constitute something of a recovery plan. Not a strategic plan, nothing elaborate. This is shorter in detail than the one I did in 16 for the reasons that I said, that I've only been here a short time, not as familiar with everything that has gone on in my absence. So,
Alex,
but,
can I give a quick follow-on question?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Lydia, when do you plan on, when is a more fleshed out and detailed recovery plan required, necessary, or is it not required or necessary?
It's not required or necessary, but at that point, as Alex had said, then these are some of the elements that we might consider including in strategic planning. But in strategic planning, you also need to know what are the budgets and all of the things that the Finance Committee produces and recommends. And Pacifica has not been known. I've only known one time when I was at the LSB years ago where you actually had a strategic planning session. it's something that we really, really need. And so, but this isn't it. This is just a quick response to the going concern alert. And then it can start being one of the layers, maybe strategic committee isn't interested in any of it, but it could be incorporated. The strategic plan is far more detailed and absolutely requires the elements from the Finance Committee as well.